There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Left side. To the right side he goes. Incomplete at the goal line. Washington breaking it up.
Great game last night. If you stayed up and watched it on Amazon Prime. Controversial ending. We'll get to that coming up here in a few minutes. But good morning. Football Friday here. And for the next 3 hours, we will be focused on primarily Washington and Pittsburgh Sunday in Landover. Jerry Dulac, who writes and covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, will be with us in about 30 minutes to preview it from the Steelers side. Ben Standing at 11:35 this morning to preview it from Washington's side. And in between, Denton and I on the matchup a lot this morning. I'll have my keys to a win over Pittsburgh coming up later on this hour or early next hour, along with our picks later on in the show. Smell test picks for the weekend coming up in the 11 o'clock hour as well. Look, this is Sunday, the first of two games over a four-day period that will tell us a lot about this team. You know, I don't think it will be defining because there's still another six games after playing Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, including a rematch with the Eagles later on in the season at home in late December. But defining or not, we're going to learn a lot. You know, we're going to learn if this team's ready for these kinds of games that start to become significant in the second half of the season for teams with good records. It seems hard to believe that they wouldn't be ready for these kinds of games based on what we've seen offensively in particular. It would be hard to fathom that the quarterback won't be ready and won't perform well in games like these with the way he's played so far. And even if you go back to some of the big college games he had playing in the SEC, but you still want to see more. And Pittsburgh and Philadelphia have been playing games like these for years. You know, Pittsburgh and Philly right now are in and around the top 10 defensively in most of the advanced categories. They're also bullies on offense when it comes to running the football in particular. These two games back-to-back are going to be, in the moment, truth tellers about the readiness of this, you know, 7-2 plucky Washington team that came out of nowhere and how they'll deal with these moments for the rest of this year. Because this is just going to set up bigger moments. You know, even if they were to lose both games, then you're going to have big games just to get to the postseason. If you split them, you're going to have big games to win a division and improve your seeding. If you take both of them, you're legitimately, we could be talking a week from today, Friday morning, November 15th, the morning following the second of these two games back-to-back, if they were to win both of them, let's face it, at 9-2, they would become a big-time Super Bowl contender in the eyes of everybody. You know, they'd be talking Detroit, Washington in the NFC. Some of us already are talking about Detroit, Washington. But there are things to learn for sure. And I think for me, Sunday and then Thursday, this back-to-back in the nature of the two teams they're playing, it's perfect for right now. It is perfect for early to mid-November when you have already harvested 7 wins in 9 games. And you have, you know, for the most part, confidence in almost everything they're doing, but concerns with a couple of things. One thing in particular. You know, the inability for them to stop the run against teams that have wanted to run the football. And they're going to get that in the next 2 games. And hopefully they're going to get that with their new acquisition for at least one of those 2 games. If not both of them, Ben will have more on Marshon Lattimore's, you know, will he or won't he play on Sunday at 11:35. My guess is he probably won't play. That's my guess. And I think if there's any hesitance over is he or isn't he 100%, you hold him out a Sunday and you try to get him ready for the big division battle against Philadelphia on Thursday night. But man, we have not had a 2-game stretch like this in years. It's been a long time. They are going to be at the center of the NFL universe for their next 2 games. Pittsburgh, Washington is the biggest and most important game on the card. All right. It probably looked like other games a few weeks ago, but now with the way things have gone, it is the most important matchup, and it's the matchup of the 2 best records head-to-head of any game in the league on Sunday. And then when we get to Thursday night, the build-up for Washington-Philadelphia round 1 will be massive. Massive. National TV, the Thursday night game. Amazon had a good one last night. But Washington-Philly is going to be massive. We'll talk a lot more about that one, obviously, starting on Monday and then more on Tuesday. They have Pittsburgh first, an opportunity to get to 8-2. And that would be amazing and clearly unexpected. I do want to talk, before we get back into this game, I do want to talk about last night, Denton. That was a football game, man. That was entertaining. First of all, you start with this. The quarterback play was so, so high level. Lamar Jackson, 4 touchdowns, no picks, no sacks, 290 yards on 25 of 33. He was just amazing. Like, I honestly, there's a long way to go here, but you'd be crazy to wager on anybody other than Lamar Jackson to win the MVP. He won the MVP and had much less of a season last year. He's already at 24 touchdowns and 2 interceptions on the season. 24 and 2. This time last year, and he won the MVP last year, he was 10 touchdowns, 5 picks. I know touchdowns and picks aren't necessarily with Lamar Jackson what you're looking at initially. But he has become an outstanding thrower of the football. In the pocket, on the move, extending plays, etc. But how about Joe Burrow last night? I mean, Joe Burrow was unbelievable. 428 yards, 4 touchdowns with literally no running game. No ability to run the football. Remember Jaden's performance at Baltimore when they couldn't run the football? And it was like so impressive because there's a rookie quarterback out there playing in a one-dimensional situation. They can't run the football. They stop trying to run the football. And yet he's dealing from the pocket. Joe Burrow was dealing last night. And by the way, taking an absolute pounding. He got hit after every throw last night. And by the way, hit illegally after several throws, including on that 2-point conversion. We'll get to that in a moment. But the quarterback play in that game last night was so high level. And then, look, Ja'Marr Chase is just, I think, Denton, it's Jefferson and Chase. Kind of like in the conversation about quarterbacks the other day, I'm like, look, I don't care what Mahomes' numbers are. There is a tier one, and it's Patrick Mahomes. And then we can start talking about the quarterbacks in the next tier. I think receiver-wise, it's Chase and it's Jefferson, and then we can start talking about the rest of them because they are much different than others. Ja'Marr Chase is an absolute freak. 11 catches, 264 yards. I don't know what's more impressive, the size, the hands, or the acceleration in the open field when he actually has the ball in his hands. He is so good. The fact that Joe Burrow at LSU had Chase and Jefferson is crazy. And also, by the way, part of why he had the all-time college football season throwing the football. That's where I would start with last night's game, and we'll get to the end here, Denton. But the quarterback play was insane, and Ja'Marr Chase is truly elite. He is either one or two. Put him in whatever order you want, but it's Jefferson and Chase above all else at receiver. They're just different.
He's so good. Like that first touchdown where he should have been tackled like three times.
The acceleration.
And he just outran everybody. Like, we think of Tyreek Hill for doing that because it looks a little different when he does it because he literally runs. But Ja'Marr Chase does the same thing.
Same thing.
He literally runs away.
He's bigger.
Yeah, and the only difference is he's bigger and he can go up and high point the football a little bit better than Tyreek Hill can. It's insane to watch, and it's insane that they lost the game in spite of it. I pray for everyone that played against him in fantasy football. You already lost this week. I mean, he must have put up like 50 points.
11 catches, 264 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, what's so impressive about it, look, Baltimore, we know this from playing them earlier. They're really good at stopping the run. They're terrible as a pass defense. But my God, were they coming after Joe Burrow last night. He got sacked three times, but he got hit over and over again. He really is a tough SOB. I mean, it's the best part of Burrow. He's really good. There's so much that he does high level. But he's been taking a beating since he came into the league. How many sacks did he take in that Tennessee playoff win? Was it nine?
It was nine.
He was... none of them were because he was holding it too long. They could not block Tennessee defensively. And they couldn't run the football last night. Had no prayer of running the football last night. So he threw it 56 times. Now, we get to the end of the game. If you were watching this, you know what I'm about to say, but I'll set it up for everybody. So, Baltimore took the lead on a beautiful play by Jackson. He creates more time, and then he just throws this little jump shot pass to Rashad Bateman with a minute 49 left in the game to give the Ravens a 35-28 lead. The fourth quarter was insane. It was just touchdown, 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 touchdown. There were five touchdowns on five drives in the fourth quarter. Neither defense could stop the other team or the other quarterback in particular. But Cincinnati got one last opportunity. They had a 4th and 10 that they converted barely. There was a missed face mask along in the setup to the 4th and 10 on against Joe Burrow that wasn't called. And I bring it up because that happened on the final play of the game. They get down the field. He throws a touchdown pass to Ja'Marr Chase over two defenders. It was a great throw. I don't even know how he fit it in there. I think he threw to the wrong guy in the progression. Like, you know, you had a dropping safety into a double cover situation on Ja'Marr Chase in the back of the end zone, and somehow Burrow dropped it in, and it was a touchdown. And then with 38 seconds left in the game, they decided to go for two. They decided to go for the lead, not the win, the lead. It's really important with the way things were going, and I think this should have been factored into the equation. It's interesting. They lined up, first of all, to go for two, and they tried to draw the Ravens off sides, and then they called a timeout. I thought they were going to kick the extra point at that after they called the timeout, but they put the offense back out there. I think, you know, all of these situations are about context as much, if not more, than they are about the historical, you know, data that drives these analytics people to be so sure about their two-point prognostications and decisions. Zach Taylor decided to keep the offense out there and go for two. Personally, I was hoping for overtime. I wanted to see more of this game. I really wanted to see another, you know, now 38 seconds to go, plenty of time for Lamar Jackson and Justin Tucker. Three downs or four downs, there was going to be enough time there. They decided to go for the two, which, by the way, remember, the downside of that with 38 seconds to go is you're giving the other team four downs now because they're not going to punt on fourth down. You're giving them four opportunities, and I think probably Baltimore would have gotten in field goal range with four downs. That would have been my concern and the reason I would have kicked and maybe said, let's hope to win the coin toss and go down and win it. But they went for the two the second go-around, and there were multiple missed calls on the play, egregious missed calls. First of all, the tight end, Mike Gesicki, gets tackled, you know, off the line of scrimmage. It's so blatant and completely missed. I don't know how you missed that. When I say tackled, he gets held up and then he gets thrown to the ground on a pass play. That is defensive holding, illegal contact, whatever it is, 98 times out of 100. When especially on a condensed field on a big play, the referees are right there. They can see everything. They didn't call it. And then after the incomplete pass to the backup tight end who was in the game, Burton, who he misses, not really misses, it was borderline interference on that, but Joe Burrow got smacked in the face with a hand to the face, a hand to the helmet, and a tug on the face mask simultaneously, and that wasn't called. It's actually the second time now in 3 weeks we've seen a game end with a blatant penalty that's just not called. Remember, Sam Darnold had his face mask twisted, you know, by, you know, almost not 180 degrees. That would have snapped his neck, Neil, in Rockville, but about 90 degrees. And they missed that, too. Now, that did not decide the game because the bottom line is that Minnesota would have still had to go 85 yards. But this one certainly should have extended the game by one play from the one-yard line with Cincinnati having another opportunity to take the lead there. And they missed it. And so the outcry is replay for these kinds of plays. I don't know where you know, I think blatant personal foul calls should be replayed. I do. And should be challengeable prior to the final 2 minutes and should go to the booth in the final 2 minutes. Those are not subjective calls. That's not a subjective call. That is a clear, egregious, personal foul against the other team, just like the Darnold play was. And I think personal fouls, 15-yarders, should be reviewable. I think defensive holding and pass interference are too subjective, and I think they're too hard to officiate live and kind of hard to officiate after the fact, even though there was a clear defensive hold. But I think a smack to the helmet, a hit to the head, should be reviewable there. What do you think?
I do. I think you just, like, the issue that I've had with that call and with the Sam Darnold thing is, like, you have to get that right in real time as the official. And it, like, it is a, I'm glad you mentioned that the thing happened to Sam Darnold a couple of weeks ago, because now that's two times in 3 weeks where something in a very similar lane has happened and the officials are just missing it. You have, I mean, how many officials are on a field? Like 12?
Well, and remember, that is the lead referee's responsibility, is the quarterback.
And that's the other thing I was going to say. Like, it's not like
he's watching.
It's not like it's a running back who's getting hit when he's blocking in the face.
You're in a pile.
It's the guy with the football who's the most important player, and they've missed it twice in 3 weeks.
Okay, so that's fair. Get it right on the field live. But what if they don't?
Well, we see what happens if they don't.
No. Do you think that next year that these kinds of plays should be reviewable?
No.
Challengeable.
I don't. No. I don't need more replay. I just need to hold people accountable. Just do your job correctly the first time or find someone that can do the job.
We've been holding people accountable for years, and they miss these calls. They're human beings. They miss these calls. I don't know how they missed that one or the Sam Darnold one, but they missed the call. Sam Darnold one, remember, there was a player that could have potentially been obstructing the referee's view of it. But last night, probably not. And it was such a significant play. It's a two-point conversion to take the lead with 38 seconds to go. Your eyes have to be, as the head referee, on the quarterback. I would not have an issue with adding that kind of a play, a personal foul that is very it's really not that subjective. And by the way, to overturn a personal foul that's called on the field that isn't. You know, if there was a face mask called on a play where it wasn't the face mask, we see that happen, where it shouldn't have been roughing the passer, where the full body weight didn't land. I wouldn't have a problem with those kinds of penalties being reviewable and being challengeable. And Cincinnati would have clearly had an overturn or would have had a booth review go in their favor, and they would have had one snap from the one-yard line to take the lead. Again, I would not have gone for two there. 38 seconds and an extra down for Baltimore with the way they were moving it, and Justin Tucker's leg, even though he had missed an extra point. It's kind of a bad snap on the extra point. But I would not have given Lamar Jackson, with 38 seconds to go, four downs. That would have been my primary reason for not going for two. Even if I had a really good play, I would have said, we're just giving them an extra down to get into field goal range. I don't want to do that. You're a huge Burrow fan. You root for the Bengals because of it. Did you want Zach Taylor to go for two there or not?
I didn't mind the decision of going for it. I did not like the decision that Burrow made. I do not care what the circumstances were. I was throwing to Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
And like he was single covered up top with Stevenson, who he'd been kind of beaten up all night. It just Burrow's not looking that way. I mean, he's an elite processor. We know that. That was a mistake on his end, though. You got to look in the direction of number one. I don't care if they put the entire defense on him. I would still force the ball in to his direction over the tight end.
Ja'Marr Chase he's one of the best 5-6 players in the league, period. He and Justin Jefferson are that much better than everybody else. They are just ridiculous difference makers. The game he had last night, if it had gone to overtime, if they had kicked and gone to overtime, he would have had a chance, I think, to set the record for yards in a game. I think it's three. Actually, I got to look that up. Pass reception yards in a game. It's 300-something.
I was wrong about the fantasy thing. I've had multiple people send me scorecards for their fantasy. One league I got sent, he had 61 points. Another league I just got sent, he had 70 fantasy points.
Flipper Anderson holds the record, the NFL record for reception yards in a game, 336. He did it back in 1989 playing for the Rams. Calvin Johnson had a game in which he had 329. If that game goes to overtime and Cincinnati gets a possession, he's within striking distance of it. I mean, he would have been, 36? He would have been 72 yards away. He had multiple,
70-yarder.
It was ridiculous what he was doing. He may not have gotten there, but he would have gone over 300.
Yeah, he would have flirted. Because that Calvin Johnson game was against Atlanta, right? I think it was against
Dallas.
It was against Dallas. There was one Atlanta game where they literally triple-teamed him the entire game, and he still had 120 yards.
Yeah. It's interesting. A lot of the big reception yardage games didn't happen more recently. I mean, Calvin Johnson's number two, but Flipper Anderson, I mean, that's 35 years ago. That would have been more likely than not. That would have been Jim Everett as the quarterback, I'm assuming. Really entertaining game. Cincinnati, by the way, Denton, is not out of this thing at all. I mean, the game that they'll play next Sunday night against the Chargers, I think that game got flexed into that spot, right? I think it did. And then they get the Steelers the next two games. They win those two games, and they're back at 6-6. They're right there. The AFC is going to have a 9-8, if not 2 9-8 teams in the playoffs. Watch. They still have two with the Steelers. They have games with the Chargers and the Broncos, two teams that they'll be battling it out with for a wild card spot. Last night was their chance to get back into the division race. That's now probably history. But they're very much in the hunt, and they would be one of those teams that if they got in as a 9-8 team and you had to play them as, say, a 2-seed or in a 2-7 game or a 6-seed as a 3-seed, they might be favored in that matchup. They're that capable. That is Washington's most impressive win by far. Forget the record. Cincinnati is a truly capable football team.
Can I give you one more crazy stat here?
Yeah.
So Joe Burrow was 34-56, 428 yards, four touchdowns. It's the second game in NFL history that a quarterback completed 30 or more passes with over 300 yards, at least four touchdowns, multiple touchdowns of over 40 yards, because Chase had two of them, and one interception or less and lost. The first time was Joe Burrow.
No interceptions.
Well, the first time he had one interception because it was Joe Burrow against the Ravens in Week 5. He's done it twice this year.
Oh, you're singing the two games. That's crazy. He had an interception in the end zone that got overturned by replay. That was, I mean, at this point, is it shin? Is it knee? Is it two taps? Is it, I'm getting confused. I thought when I saw that replay that that was going to stand, but it didn't.
We've seen the foot double tap thing, like the same foot double tapping, I think like three times in 10 days. I had never seen it before in my life.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson, though, I mean, Joe Burrow can't win the MVP on a team that ends up 8-9 or 9-8, can he?
No, unless Lamar gets hurt.
Yeah, Lamar is headed. It's Lamar, Jaden, and Josh Allen in terms of the legitimate MVP candidates here as we enter Week 10. I think those are the three. And I put Jaden in that group behind Lamar. Lamar would be my vote right now. He has been sensational all year long. I don't know. Did you see the play where he backed up, and then turned it into a run down to the 1 yard line?
Yeah. I thought he was going to get in.
You can't get to him. He's impossible. By the way, sometimes it looks like he's bored. Like we talk about Mahomes. Like, yeah, I want this to be more exciting. I want a play that has more excitement to it. Sometimes he creates excitement in a play that is unnecessary. All right, enough about that. Pittsburgh, Washington, we'll get to that next. We have somebody from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jerry Dulac, who will join us at 10:35. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
We'll get to Jerry Dulac in about 5-6 minutes, but I wanted to read this. It came from Will. Will wrote, "Kevin, I'm much more skeptical about this Lattimore trade. They had been doing a great job loading their coffers with draft picks, and they just gave up three of them for a player who's injury-prone. This will come back to bite them." So I've gotten a lot of this, actually, over the last couple of days. I have this sense that not everybody's in favor of this trade, and I think the number one thing that worries people is the injury history. You know, he's played in 24 of the Saints' last 44 games. And to give up, you know, a third, a fourth, and a sixth, by the way, they got back a fifth from New Orleans, along with Lattimore, for a player that's going to play, if he continues on this pace, 24 of the next 44 games, I understand that that would be a concern. You have to hope that he remains healthy, that he's healthy to play in the significant majority of the games, especially the important games, because this franchise, more likely than not, is not only going to have him this year, but they're probably going to have important games next year and the year after and the year after that, as long as the quarterback stays upright. So I do understand that. But remember this, you know, all of these draft picks that they had been acquiring, accumulating, you know, they're not just to pick players in the draft. You accumulate draft choices to give you options to draft more players is one, to use those draft picks to move up in the draft, to take a player that you really think, that you really like, that you really want, but you don't have access to without making the trade. But the third reason that you accumulate a lot of draft choices is to do what they did on Tuesday. To use the excess of draft choices to trade for a player that can help you now and in the future, a player that you would have been looking for the likes of anyway when the season ended. Draft choices aren't just for picking players. You know, you can't, you know, load up the coffers with draft choices and end up picking 14, 15 players every year. You can't keep all of them. You only have ultimately 53 roster spots, and you're not putting 11, 12 rookies on your team every year. If you're doing that, that means the players you've picked previously weren't good. No, they're used for picking players, trading up to get better players, or trading to other teams to get a good player. I have no problem with them using picks from the coffers, from the cupboard, from the full cupboard of draft choices to get a player, given this circumstance in particular, the circumstance being they're in contention for something big and they have a need. They had a significant need, and it wasn't a rental. It was a player that can help them now and in the future. And by the way, from a contractual standpoint, a favorable one in terms of how much they're paying this year and then what they can restructure the next 2 years. Yes, the risk clearly is, will he be available enough? I still think it was very much worth doing. All right, we'll go to Pittsburgh next. Jerry Dulac covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's part of the Steelers radio network as well on KDKA and also a KDKA TV insider. At Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y, Dulac, D-U-L-A-C, joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. By the way, I'm checking out your your Twitter profile pic. That's the Ocean Course, right?
I'm trying to remember which one it is.
It's either the Ocean Course or it's Turtle Point, which is those are the two that run parallel at Kiowa.
Oh, yeah. I'm very familiar with them. I've only been there about 25 times.
Right. So do you like it on a windy day or a tame day?
That's Turtle Point at Kiowa. That picture, the picture of me swinging, is actually at a course where my charity tournament is.
Okay, yeah, Turtle Point is I don't know. To me, it's too gimmicky, and the Ocean Course is too hard. But it's always a wonderful trip down there.
That Turtle Point, you can see how the wind is blowing because the flag is basically starched sideways.
Exactly. All right, so they're 6-2. The Steelers are Russell Wilson's quarterback the last two games. I think from afar, it feels to me like just a much different Steelers team than the last couple of years. Do you guys feel the same way?
Well, there's no question, because now you have an experienced 9-time Pro Bowl, Super Bowl winning quarterback back under center, which of course they haven't had since Ben Roethlisberger. So, you know, you have a guy who knows every pre-snap read imaginable. You have a guy who knows where everybody's supposed to be, on the offense. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the last two games with him, they've had over 400 yards offense. First time they've had back-to-back 400-yard games since, like, 2018. It has allowed, while Najee Harris has been running well, it's allowed him to be even more productive. That's three straight 100-yard games for Najee Harris. He hasn't done that in his career. And like I said, it's the best I've seen him look. So now with the threat of the pass in the middle of the field, check downs, whatever the case may be, down the sideline, we see that accuracy on the deep throws. It can only help, and it has helped, the running game.
Are you guys surprised that Russell Wilson has played this way in the two games?
To a degree, I am, because Kevin, you throw out that 2-for-8 start when he against the Jets,
right?
When he hadn't played in six games here, only six series in the preseason, and didn't play the final two games in Denver. When you consider his inactivity in games that count, the 2-for-8 start, that wasn't surprising. But right after that, he's completing over 70% of his passes. His yards per attempt is 10.7. That would be first in the league. As it is, he's third in the league anyhow right now for guys who have attempted more than 50 passes. And his passer rating after that slow start is like 124. And even with it, it's like 111. So, I mean, that he has played that well and that efficient, considering the layoff, yeah, that part of it is very surprising.
Yeah, the other thing, too, because we've seen these two games, because they've been primetime games against the Jets, right, and the Giants. If you're an NFL fan, you've had the opportunity to watch both of them. He just looks so much more confident than he did in Denver last year. Do you attribute that to Arthur Smith?
Absolutely, I do. And you stole the words out of my mouth. And I think that's a byproduct of what he has been able to do with this offense. I mean, let's look what he did with even Justin Fields. You know, a guy, who won four of the first six games and played pretty well, to the point that people thought, oh, maybe he should be the quarterback. Well, that was never their plan. It never was from the moment they signed Russell Wilson in free agency. And Justin Fields basically was an afterthought. And by that, I mean, he wouldn't be on this team if Kenny Pickett didn't throw a hissy fit when they signed Russell Wilson and demanded to be traded. So once they traded him, boom, they went right back to the Bears and acquired Justin Fields. But to when you consider, a guy who won 10 games in 3 years and everybody was down on, nobody, I don't want to say they didn't want to touch this guy, but nobody was in any hurry to sign him in free agency. And what he's been able to do here is, without question, testament to Arthur Smith.
Yeah, really looked comfortable and looked like in command. Like even the shots of him on the bench with Justin Fields, he just looked like Russell Wilson of old. We're talking to Jerry Dulac from Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. So how are you guys viewing your next opponent Sunday in Washington?
Well, I'll tell you the way I'm viewing it, Kevin, and I think to a degree they are as well. Of course, the players, you know, don't look at it that way, and if they do, they certainly don't say it. But I think it's a indicator of where this team is and what they are. You know, when you go back, their 3-game winning streak to start the season was against teams who were 16-10. This last 3-game winning streak, the current one, was against teams who were 7-21. So they at least took care of the business they needed to take care of, unlike last year when they had a 3-game skid against 3 of the bottom feeders in the league and almost ruined their playoff chances. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, is this a case of whether they're a contender or a pretender? I think there's some, you know, when I say a contender, you know, for the division title, maybe. I still think the Ravens are not only the best team in the division, I think they're the best team in the AFC, if not the NFL, even despite a leaky pass defense.
Right.
But I think going against a team that is unbeaten at home, you know, it's an upstart resurgent season for them, led by a rookie quarterback who seems to have a lot of magic going right back to Hail Mary. To go on the road, you know, and win this game, if they do, is to me is a test of their character and what they really are. I know it's a long season, but that's what I think this game is for them. I think it's a true indicator game of what the Steelers are.
I think it's the same way in reverse. You know, I don't think it's a defining, you know, game, because there are going to be another 7 that come after it. Washington's got to play Philadelphia Thursday night in the first of two division matchups against the Eagles. But I think for Washington, it's about finding out if they're ready for these kinds of games. And then two, Jerry, Washington struggled against the run, and Pittsburgh can run the football. Do you think that that's what they come in trying to do offensively?
I don't think there's any question, but I don't think, you know, Kevin, I don't think you're going to see a game where they run it 40 times and just try and continually jam it down their throat, because they haven't done that. But where they like to run the ball, of course, is get the lead, you know, and try and drain the clock with their running game. You know, Najee Harris is like Derrick Henry. At 235 pounds, he's punishing this defense, and so he just gets stronger, and the defense gets wearier of tackling him as the game goes on. But, yeah, their ability to run the ball is certainly something they're going to rely on, but I don't think it's going to, like, limit how much Russell Wilson wants to throw the ball. I don't think he's going to come out and throw it 35 times either. But I think there's no question the Steelers, with their running game, and Jaylen Warren will try and take advantage of probably an area where they feel they have an advantage.
How good is Pickens?
Pickens is as talented a big play receiver as there is in the league. There's no question about it. But I think, you know, I don't want to call him a one-trick pony, because they're trying to get him more involved and have been, you know, on slants over the middle, skinny posts, things like that. But, you know, he doesn't have Justin Jefferson numbers, but he is a talented guy who, I don't care who the cornerback is, he's a matchup problem for any cornerback one-on-one in the league, because he has just shown his ability to catch the ball, you know, whether he's high-pointing it, whether he's twisting his body, whether he's toe-tapping on the sideline, he's a problem for anybody.
On the flip side, will Joey Porter, will he be on Terry McLaurin and travel with him?
You know, it depends, Kevin, and I say that because I've noticed the last couple games, they haven't had him shadow a guy specifically the entire time, but they will flip-flop sides with him depending on formations. The other reason, they'll shadow a guy if they feel there's one guy on the opposing offense that if they take away and they don't have a number of other good receivers, they'll try to shadow and take that guy away. But if they feel the team has a balanced passing attack, again, depending on down and distance, depending on formations, they won't necessarily have him follow him everywhere he goes.
Do they go into every game essentially saying, if we can make the other team one-dimensional, T.J. Watt will dominate the game?
I don't know that they think that specifically, but there is no question about it. They are well aware, and as is every opponent, of how he can disrupt the game. And I go back to the Atlanta game where Raheem Morris in the opener, the speech was on YouTube and on videos, we're not going to let T.J. Watt disrupt the game. And guess what? T.J. Watt disrupted the game. So you could go in and say you're going to take him away. And look, we're seeing teams chip him, use two guys, sometimes use three guys. They want to make sure he doesn't. You know, with disrupting the quarterback, but that doesn't mean he doesn't disrupt the game with punching out the ball and everything else. And he does it at key moments. And it's uncanny, Kevin, how in these big, weighty moments he's able to do it.
All right, two quick ones and we'll finish it up with you. Number one is this. Do you expect, we've seen it around the league, we've seen it the last two times Pittsburgh's been in Landover. They essentially took the stadium over. Are you guys expecting that kind of influence in terms of the travel of fans to Landover?
Well, as you know, Landover is about 3.5 to 4 yep. hours, so it's away, so it's an easy drive. And, Kevin, I call it one of the great phenomenons in sports, and it just never ceases to amaze me that no matter where the Steelers seem to go, there's this contingent, sometimes overwhelming, more so than the home team, at these opposing stadiums, even if it's with a crowd that, in a stadium where the home team is supported by the crowd.
Like Baltimore.
Wherever. And I would just be shocked if you don't see it. It's just uncanny to see. And obviously it's a big advantage for the Steelers when the home team has to go to a silent count, which we've seen several times. And, of course, that plays in to just being, being able to utilize T.J. Watt even more because on one, I can't remember what game it was on the road, but one of the key plays he made to strip sack, he said it's because the other team had to go silent count, and that just helped
him. It was the opener against the Falcons, I think.
Yeah, there was another one after that. There was another one after that, yeah.
All right, last one. The Pittsburgh wins Sunday if what happens?
I think despite the fact that they're averaging over 30 points their last three games, and as I mentioned, those back-to-back 400-yard games, I think this game goes back to the way they played earlier in the season with Justin Fields. And by that, I mean, let's not try to turn the ball over. Let's not go out and try and blow them out at home. Let's just keep the game close. Don't try to force them into mistakes, a young quarterback. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be one of those 19-16 2017 games, despite the fact that we know the Commanders can score points. But I think that's the way the Steelers are going to want to play it. And so I think it's the don't make the mistakes, don't turn the ball over and let your defense try to win the game and run the ball, whatever you have to do. I think that's the way they win the game.
Jerry, thanks. Really appreciate the time.
Kevin, nice chatting with you.
Yep, Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette covers the Steelers for that newspaper, also part of the Steelers radio network. I'll tell you, like, to me, and I'll get to my keys to a win over Pittsburgh, but number one is you cannot be a one-dimensional team against the Steelers unless that one dimension is running the football and you're doing it successfully. Because trying to block their pass rush overall, not just T.J. Watt, but overall their pass rush is really difficult. And Washington's been great. And look, they have had experience, remember this, of playing Lamar Jackson twice a year. You know, playing a quarterback with this kind of mobility is not new for them. These guys have been playing against Lamar and the Ravens twice a year for a while now. They get it. They understand that. And they are well coached. This is going to be a huge test. It's going to be a fun game. Speaking of them being well coached, I want you to hear some of what Mike Tomlin said. I'm going to play it for you when we come back. But Mike Tomlin went on for about 10 minutes on Washington in his Wednesday coaches press conference. It was their first back because, remember, the Steelers are coming off a bye. You know, they played the Giants Monday night, you know, on November, on October, whatever, that was Halloween week. They had a bye last weekend. They come in well-rested. It's one of the only scheduling disadvantages Washington's had really all season long is catching Pittsburgh off a break. Washington's gotten some breaks scheduling-wise already, and will have a few more down the road. But Mike Tomlin, in his first presser back after the bye week, spent a lot of time talking about this Washington challenge and spent, in particular, about 3 or 4 minutes talking about Jaden Daniels and the offense. So I want you to hear that, and you will when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com